Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Jamming it up on the 12th of July. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P., weekend of July 12th and 13th. Hey, good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to Rack and Fin Radio, 7 to 8 a.m., 50,000 mega far-reaching watts at a Rack and Fin Radio message. We're also streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever these other platforms to get the Rack and Fin Radio message via podcast. I usually post the podcast sometime tonight, Saturday, or sometime Sunday. But the word is out there. Hey, we have a really packed show. Just want to give a shout-out. Hopefully, everyone has a great time and has great fishing. It's the third annual Doormat Derby out of Wildwood, sponsored by the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, and also sponsored by Cape May Outboard and hosted by Off the Hook Marina. Jerry, you got a great event going, man. Let's hope they get some doormats and area rugs into the scale. So grab that cup, grab that rug. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, very short notice. An event coming up next week. There's still some room in there. Women with children, get in on this event. We're also going to be talking, hey, man, turkey poll survey. Yeah, man, one day closer to hunting season. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, 2 Jam. Bring back that heat from earlier in the week. I want that heat index at 107. Sweat it out. Be right back. Whoa.
Hey, this is Josh Hennig, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Hanging with Hennig, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN. Talking about the Phillies' options to improve the roster and contenders for the Eagles' crown in the NFC. This Saturday's guests include ESPN SportsCenter anchor and Eagles fan Ryan Smith, plus Philadelphia's rising boxing star and Temple alumni Deion Butt. Hanging with Hennig on 97.3 ESPN is sponsored by Yesterday's Creekside Tavern, South Jersey's best sports bar in Marmora. Boxing Insider Promotions presents summer boxing action at Tropicana Atlantic City on July 25th. Klamek Performance Method in Egg Harbor Township and Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. That's Hanging with Hennig this Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, the 97.3 ESPN mobile app powered by First Bank Seattle City, and streaming live on YouTube and X in the Dr. Squatch virtual studio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of July 12th and 13th. Glorious weekend of July 12th and 13th. 7 turning the calendar page. Halfway done already? Is that happening? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Father Time waits for no person. This is why it's only a week's notice. You have to get involved with this. Well, we'll go into the specifics in a minute with our very special guest and fun guest. It's Liz Jackson from DEP's Fish and Wildlife. With an event going on. There's going to be, it's a learning experience, and the amount of participants is limited. It's going to be on the Sedge Island, you know, out there, that old renovated duck hunting lodge. It's a mile out in Barnegat Bay on Island Beach State Park. It's a Sedge Island Natural Resource Education Center. What is going on the marsh? The crabbing, the clamming, the wildlife, the marine life. It's a really, really super event. Very limited. It's going to be July 18th through July 20th. You're going to be staying out at the lodge, and it is something you really have to experience it to really appreciate it. Liz Jackson, sorry I get very verbose, but I know you're coming on because I'm too excited. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Tom. How are you?
Oh, locked, cocked, and ready to rock. I have Liz Jackson, Senior Biologist, Bureau of Information and Education. Overall, very cool guest, very enthusiastic about this program, Liz. I understand it's for women and children, and it's limited, and you have lodging. Go into this event. Liz, you only have a week. You only have a week. There's still, Liz, I'm too excited. I may dress up and try to get in there. But it's a very limited event. All about the salt marshes. Very, very intriguing. Very interesting. That part of the Garden State is just amazing, Liz. Again, how long have you been doing this? What are the specifics? Go to it, young lady.
Absolutely. So this is for our Sisters of Field program, which targets women with their children. We're definitely looking at trying to get minority women or new anglers, new female anglers with their kids out to our beautiful treasure island of Sedge Island. I love that place. Well, you've been out there, Tom, probably, right?
It's just what I want to stay. They said, you're out of here, man. I said, let me camp out. You're out of here, man. But, Well, and it's covering kayaking, clamming, Back Bay fishing, learning about the wildlife and stuff. Liz, it's really fantastic. Who's involved with this?
So this is Sisters of Field is a program that was sort of a jump off from our Hooked on Fishing, Not on Drugs program.
Right.
Realizing that, you know, moms or females do a lot of the caregiving for young people.
Yep.
And so I started the Sisters of Field in 2023. This will be our second weekend trip out to the beautiful Sedge Island. It's from Friday to Sunday. And we're, you know, when you get out there on the island, you're on Sedge time, right? So, you know, when
yep.
the schedule's kind of a mixed blend of some kayaking through the salt marsh, maybe a little crabbing and clamming, some fishing both from the shore and maybe from a pontoon boat. It all depends on what nature's you know, sets up for the day. But we'll be doing a lot of outdoor activities. There's room where people will be staying in this duck hunting lodge, like you mentioned, and we'll be sort of group share, caring, and cooking and eating what we catch for the weekend.
Whoa. Crabs and
yeah.
clams. Tom P is going to be in the house, man.
Somehow
I'll find a way there. Well, Liz, I understand there's a fee for $100, but it includes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, that $100 fee is for one mom and one child. There's a $15 supplemental if the mom comes with a second kid. We're looking at kids age 10 and older because we really want the kids to be able to handle being in a kayak and, you know, being out into the water within the Barnegat Bay area of the island. So,
now, listen, that includes lodging. You have your meals. You'll eat like kings and queens, I'm telling you out there. It's just it really is something. And all the equipment, all the bait and tackle, everything is self-contained here. And, again, the kayaks, everything is there. But now, instructors per se, who's involved?
So I'm going to be out there. My partner in crime and my supervisor, Karen Byrne, she might be out on the island as well.
All right.
But Karen has summer interns and seasonals and stuff that help lead programming out at the island. So they'll all be on deck to kind of help guide. You know, if turtles are coming in, they'll be one of the interns to help tag the terrapins that come in on the island, things like that.
There's a lot of stuff involved. I'm telling you, participants, especially the youngsters like me, you'll fall into bed at night. You will fall into bed at night, and you're out of it like light. And just the sedge, and I'm on the woods, the mountains, and all, but just that sedge sunrise, or even before sunrise, when the marsh comes alive, Kara, it's incredible.
Absolutely. There's nothing better than that sedge sunrise.
And listen, it's as close to the bayou as you're going to get, and it's just it's thrilling. There's just so much to see. One thing, though, Ms. Jackson, got to say, you have to have a quality bug spray or wear a head net or something, because those greenheads and those pine flies, whatever the hell those little things are called, they'll drill you. They, especially with a west wind, they can be profuse and it can make for a tough day if you're young and you don't have the correct protection, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely encourage folks who plan on attending to bring lightweight long sleeve pants and shirts.
Yep.
Like, I wouldn't be totally out there in shorts. And folks should bring their toiletries when they come. So that should include bug spray and a really good sun hat also, because that's the other issue, is being out there on that marsh. In the bright, bright sun.
Hey, Jackson, you had to see me Tuesday, man. I look like a lobster, a 300-pound lobster from Maine. I was like, broiled, man. That sun was real. Again, no hat. That's why my lovely Dee Marie says, you know, you're really getting thin on top. Maybe you should wear a hat because I can see this reflection of the sunburn on your scalp from here. And she's across the room.
Burning your hair off.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, my God. Oh, well, another thing, too, there is no air conditioning. However, there are plenty of fans, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And generally, we sleep with all the windows open.
Mm-hmm.
There's screen windows everywhere. There's also a beautiful front porch that's a screened-in area where we'll have our meals.
It's
and
nice.
And that's a real cool, breezy place to hang out.
So nice. So how many years have you done this sedge thing? Is this the second year, you said?
Yeah, so Sisters of Field program started around 2023.
Right.
We had,
okay.
a Sedge Island experience last year and then this year. So okay. This will be our second.
Karen, I know, listen, it's very extremely short notice. How do people get involved? Can I, Liz, you only have basically 5 days, 6 days, whatever. So how do people find out about it? Where do they go? Where do they send the money? Venmo, ISMO, whatever. How's it go?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can just go and they can Google Sisters of Feel. I think if you look, there's no other Sisters of Feel when you Google. But if there is, just do NJ and it'll bring you up to the webpage. Mm-hmm. There's a little registration link right there on the webpage. When they pay, we're asking folks to, you know, bring, because of the short notice, bring, it's a little too late to mail a check made out to Conserve Wildlife Foundation of New Jersey for that $100 or whatever it is that you're bringing with, the kids you're bringing with you. And like you mentioned, right, it covers the lodging, it covers the cost of the food. We will be group sharing, group cooking. So, you know, they learn how to break down some of their catch as well, shucking clams and things like that.
Especially Jackson, getting the youngsters involved. This is what I did. So they dragged me this, and you learn so much. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely a phenomenal experience.
Yep, absolutely. And okay. So on short notice, you can bring your check with you when you arrive Friday evening at 6.
Okay. Listen, one of the best parts is the ride out there, man.
Oh, absolutely.
And you see all sorts of stuff. You're going to see turbines. You're going to see there's cow nose rays there the size of my SUV. I mean, it's just a ride out there is just a blast. Now, Ms. Jackson, I understand there's several other events coming up that you're involved in.
Yeah, so for folks who, you know, can't make this weekend, we are doing, the Sisters of Field program is doing a hook and cook event. It's a one-day event at the Hackettstown Fish Hatchery. It's set for Saturday, August 23rd, with a rain date of August 24th. So we're providing all the fishing gear and equipment, and we're, you know, this is an introduction for those ladies with their kids that want to get into fishing but have never done it before and they want to give it a go.
And you have a great facility. Shout out to Craig Lemon and that great crew up there at Hackettstown.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, you go to that hook and cook, you will have a crazy good time. Got some big fish running around up there. Well, Karen, getting involved with that, will that be posted on njfishandwildlife.com? Will there be a general release on that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm a little ahead of the curve on that one. So that release should go out next week.
Okay. I want to give it one last pump, people. Next weekend is going to be starting 1 p.m. July 18th, wraps up 1 p.m. July 20th. The Sedge Island Natural Resource Experience with DEP's Fish and Wildlife. Liz Jackson, one more time. Give it a go. Explain it.
Yep, it's be Friday, and actually they check in at the Sedge Dock in the evening, Friday around 5 p.m., and then we have them till Sunday. So space is limited. There's only room for 3 more families, so please sign up soon.
It's going to be a great time. You heard it here on Rockfin Radio with Liz Jackson and Tom P. Liz, what a small world. We're both from the same area. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yeah. I will run into you, young lady. Maybe I'll show up at the dock with some, maybe a bushel of clams or something like that and start shucking just to get people in the mood.
now you're talking my song.
Or some shrimp tetrazzini, you know, me being at the hook and cook thing. Liz Jackson, take our great program. Listeners, get involved with this. Women with your children, it's going to be a time they will never, ever, ever forget it. Liz, you take care,
absolutely,
man. I'll see you somewhere one day.
All right, take care.
By the way, that Lake Astro saved me some of those crap. This place has crappies the size of hubcaps. And Jackson's up there just banging on the resource. What are you doing to me, Jackson? I'll see you later.
Bye.
Jackson, she's great. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rub. We'll be right back. Rack and Finn Ready. Going to be talking turkeys with Jimmy Sloan. Yeah, the study is on, man. Brood survey. Be right back.
Rack and Finn Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Oh, what a day here. Rack and Finn Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 12th and 13th. Hey, one day closer to the September 1st opening of the general hunting season. Let's talk turkey right now. More specifically, the DEP's Bureau of Wildlife Management has their brood sighting survey underway for looking for hens and their poults. Join us online right now to discuss. A great guest, always, whenever we can get him on Rock and Fin Radio, is Jimmy Sloan, principal wildlife biologist, and he's the upland and migratory game bird project leader. He's spearheading this survey. Very valuable information. As you know, they shut down the fall turkey season this year. Hens are, we don't know what's going on with the hens. This is a multi-state effort. Jimmy, thanks for taking the time. I know you're slamming, jamming, otherwise cramming. How you doing, little brother?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Birds, 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 poults, hens. What's going on? The survey is underway. Can you go into some of the specifics on it, Jim? And again, other states are involved, correct?
Yes. Yeah, this is a national effort. I believe there's 27 other states that are doing the same exact brood survey right now. Same exact question. It's all symmetrical across state boundaries.
Okay, and it's used in other states. And again, it's all geared on how well are the hens raising broods? Did they raise broods? Did they even mate? Nesting success or lack thereof? Now, listen, surveys on njfishandwildlife.com. Go to the hunting link. Go to turkeys. It's right there on the top of the page. This runs through August 31st. But, Jim, what's been happening? I know you're trying to discover, but what's been happening with the hens? Again, is this in these other 27 states as well?
Yeah. It's range-wide. We're seeing population declines, mostly range-wide. So one of the things with this poult survey, you know, you got to remember they're general statistics, okay? If we have poults per hen from 2 to 3, that means the population is pretty stable, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Grown populations usually have a poults per hen above 3, and obviously below 2 is declining. So if you just use those scales and metrics and we look at our poults per hen every year, we can gauge what's going on, you know, because nest success and brood survival is the primary factors that influence population trends with these turkeys.
Now, Jim, you had the survey in 2024, right? Jim, you there?
Yeah, I just lost it.
You had the survey in 2024, correct?
Yes. Yep, we sure did.
And how are the findings? It's a definite decline then?
Yeah, so this survey's been going on since 85. What we've learned in the science, you know, years ago we had just Fish and Wildlife employees conduct it.
Right.
3 years ago we opened it up to NWTF and Fish and Wildlife employees as a beta test to go on fully online. Before that, it was just a piece of paper. And now we opened it up to the public last year, and, you know, it was good. We opened it in May. We closed in September, but again, the science continues to evolve. And what we learned is you want to use July and August. That's the only 2 months you really want to use those observations to get the closest and most accurate poults per hen. So this year, we kicked it off on July 1st. And again, it's going to go to August 31st. And what was happening is when we opened it in May, you know, our great constituents who wanted to participate in this, because we have a ton of diehard turkey hunters, nature lovers, you know, what they were doing is they were giving us all these poults super early, as soon as the survey came out, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone was jacked up about it. And then by the time the 2 months we needed, observations weren't coming in. You know, we need approximately 400, you know, individual observations that aren't duplicates to get, you know, an accurate one. So in 2024, we got 172.
Wow.
You know, we figure if we start it in July, let's drum up the activity now. And the poults you're seeing now are probably past that 4 week point where they got good chances of making it.
I was just going to say,
it really gives us that much better data that we need if we just collect these 2 months.
Well, Jim, when I received the information regarding the survey last week, as a matter of fact, where I was back up the Cream Ridge area, back up through there. And what's that, Chesterfield or something like that?
Yeah,
and I saw a lone hen on the side of the road. Now, the grass was kind of high. I guess the road grabbed me there. So I'm thinking, I'm slowing down. Thank God no one's behind me. And I'm thinking, okay, there got to be little ones around. And she was definitely a hen. And I said,
okay.
But I didn't see them. I'm driving. I said, man, Sloan and Gambale said sometimes they just don't nest. Or maybe it's a late net. The age is still, I don't know. And this is about a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, after putting telemetry units on these hens all over, heavy rain events, they will abandon that nest immediately.
Why?
You know,
wow.
It's just heavy rain, weather like that, they can't take it. You know, predators, If they kick that hen off so many times, human disruption, they'll abandon that nest. You know, I want to give a shout out to one of my Jennies down in Elmer. She's on her third re-nest attempt.
Third?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but we've only been doing the research for 2 years, but we haven't seen it yet. And it's a Jenny. That's pretty mind blown when you think how many times this bird's attempted to re-nest abandonment.
She's trying. I was speaking with Jimmy Sloan, DEP Fish and Wildlife's principal biologist and upland and migratory game bird project leader. Topic is the Turkey Poult Survey that is out now, Hen and Poult Survey. Jim, getting people involved in this now, the Turkey Federation. And, again, a lot of diehard turkey hunters here. Listeners, this is the critical time. It's going from July 1st until August 31st. Now, Jim, a little later on, though, like second, third week in August, some of these poults are as big as the hens. I mean, on your survey, how do you differentiate that?
There's a column for a number of unknown. Because it's going to get tough towards the end of August. It's going to get hard. So there is a column for number of unknown. The question, you just go down, click, unknown, not sure if they were poults or, juveniles or adults. Just click the unknown. But one of the things you just brought up, Tommy, is you've seen this hen in Chesterfield with no poults. I still need that observation.
Oh, okay. That's
a very important thing to not be biased. And that's some of the early poult counts. That's what was happening. Like, I didn't want to write down that I seen five hens and no poults. Like, that doesn't look good. I'm not writing that on a sheet of paper, but that's valuable information to let us know. Like, that's how you get accurate information.
Well, Jim, when I get home, I'll do that. Honest to God, I didn't even think of it. But and it was after July 1st. So and there you go. Well, Jim, now not to be a downer here, but what was the most disturbing data that you gleaned from this, like from last year, and also the most encouraging, like the hen telemetry tests and all that?
So, well, with the hen telemetry, listen, these birds are not good at survival. I'm looking at a pile of transmitters right now. I mean, this is our second year, I've put 50 transmitters out. Currently, I have about 60 birds on air. And that includes 18 redeployments. So 118 bird hens got, so about half of them are dead that we've handled and put transmitters on. They're just not good at surviving. They're really not. It's all preliminary data, what's coming out. We're halfway through the study now. Our transmitters from last year are picking up second year nesting data, which is huge. We can get the hens, and we're starting to figure out these hens. When you have a good hen, she's good every year. And surprisingly enough, two of our super hens that we know are super hens, they laid within 3 days. So in 2024, she laid May 3rd.
Wow.
Well, this year she laid May 6th. She's got that weather window. She knows what she's doing. And she's put off successful broods for 2 years in a row. So we define that as a super hen.
Jim, with the poult survival, though, and I'm just thinking about it, earlier in the spring, on Waterloo Road, I was up on the Musconetcong River. Waterloo Road, right across the road, plain as day, going from the side, right where there's a Boy Scout goes on, that side of the road, over a bobcat. Now, some people I speak to up there's a lot of them around. You have the coyotes, you have the hawks. I mean, these things, they're not going to survive. They have a lot going against them, do they not?
Yeah. Everything will eat a turkey. And everything times two will eat a turkey egg. So,
right.
It's one of those buzzwords. As soon as you say bobcat, that a discussion needs to be had. And
I didn't want to even get into that. Just matter of course. Right. I said, and there you go. Well, Jim, too. Now with the rain, I know early when they're hatchings or little tiny little things, the rain can be killed. How now when they're at this stage through the summer, heavy rains impact them as much as when they're just hatched?
It still does, but one of the things a turkey does, and the hen and her brood, they'll join up with other hens and other broods, and they'll form these brood flocks. And to the point that they're at, when they hit about 6 weeks of age, they join these brood flocks. And what's going on is, it's not so much about weather anymore; it's about predator avoidance. If you're putting, four hens with 10 poults, That's four adult hens that are watching out for danger while those poults are just feeding.
Right.
You know, so that's the advantage of these brood flocks, and that's why they form them.
Well, Jim, back to the survey now. It's on njfishandwildlife.com. Listeners, everything is online. Now, there's a map on here for lat long cords. Everything's pretty much self-contained, correct?
Yeah. The survey should take you your first time it should be less than 2 minutes, and next time it should be less than a minute. The easiest way to do this is once you get on that survey, bookmark it on your phone. That's the easiest way to do it. Then you just pull up your phone, click your bookmarks, you have it right there.
Shout out to Mr. Hoffman at Seton Hall Prep way back when in the 70s. You're talking Latin to me, Jim.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know. I should have added like a little tutorial on how to do that, right, Tommy?
Absolutely correct. Well, Jim, is there room for encouragement and enthusiasm? This we can get over this hump. Now, I understand why it was done. I was at the meeting. The Fish Game Council meeting was voted on. Not that I was crushed, but just disappointed that, again, it was done. It was fair and square across the board, the cancellation of the turkey season. But like you said in an interview on Rack and Fin Radio back then, you said, dead hens lay no eggs. But again, the 50 that are harvested during the fall season, that still can have an impact, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, we started the turkey population in New Jersey with 27 birds.
Whoa.
So, I mean, if you just look at that, I mean, you get these pockets where there's hens, and say a guy just decides that, hey, I'm going to go kill a turkey, and it happens to be a hen, and it could be a super hen. And we go through this time and time again, and they keep proving that these super hens are real. It's real, and that's the reproduction we need. We need those good hens. Just like in the human nature world, there's good moms and there's bad moms. And those good moms we need.
That is vintage Sloan, people. Okay, Jim. Well, Jimmy, the season being what it is, you know, we're talking summer, fishing's going crazy, a lot of stuff going on. Keeping this survey going, are you going to maybe send out a reminder or something like that? And what do you have as a result of this? Any plans for autumn?
Yeah. So August 1st, our Office of Information and Education is going to put out another listserv email. So if you receive the first email, you're going to get another one to remind you, like, hey, don't give up on me yet. We got another 30 days. Please submit these observations. And other than that, I mean, we're going into our last year of this Mid-Atlantic Research Collaborative.
Right.
So we're going to need trap sites. And when I look at where I've trapped and where I haven't trapped, we're going to need to know where, you know, winter flocks are in Morris and Somerset County.
Mm-hmm.
That's two counties I haven't trapped yet. And also, believe it or not, Cumberland County, I have not trapped yet, and I know there's a pile of birds.
Oh, there's a pile of birds down there, man. That's my new area of operate, AO, as it goes. Well, Jim, what about this? When we saw some, they weren't flocks. It was a hen, like, there were two hens or three or four birds. But we had seen them two or three times, same area. But how far will they travel? Because DeMarie said you already reported that. Don't. You know, because that's a repeat. But I said, "Babe, that was a half a mile from here. Will they roam that far?"
What time of year are we talking, Tom?
It was late August.
Late August. They shouldn't. They should have a. If they were successful, they got a brood flock. I mean, going farther than 2 miles is probably exaggerating. But you know, during the breeding season, our hens. We had a hen go 11 miles as a crow flies.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Up in North Jersey. Yep. By Hamburg Mountain. She went 11 miles. We lost that bird for 3 months.
Wow. Holy God.
Yeah, had to find it out of a helicopter.
I'll tell you, there's people, Fish and Wildlife, Jimmy Sloan, serious about their wild turkeys. Well, Jimmy, thanks for joining us. Now you're going to be doing a lot of traveling stuff like this summer, a lot of field work. Just be safe out there. Let's get you on again with an update maybe in a month or so, maybe around mid to late August.
That sounds good to me, Tom.
Okay, Jim, again, numbers, I'm going to miss that fall season, Sloan. You're killing me. But for the overall, you know, it's for the best, so I'm on board with it, man.
Yeah. For the time being, I think that's the best management decision we could do immediately.
And the one thing, listeners, I said this, and it was, again, I had reliable word on this. Remember, I always say once you lose it, it doesn't come back. I don't think this is going to be the case here. Flocks reestablish themselves. An autumn season could come back in. It's a distinct possibility. Okay, Jimmy, travel safe, brother. Thanks for joining us today. All right, take care.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
See you, brother.
Take care.
Jimmy Sloan, man. He's the man, the one, the guy. He is Mr. Gobbler. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go, the gap below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 12th and 13th. I know, Tom P., you're talking about, yeah, the hunting season's going to be here. This is, you're looking long-term here. Turkeys are a vital part of New Jersey's great hunting opportunities, great hunting scenes we have here, and the flocks are... Well, I'm going to sugarcoat it. They're in some deep dew right now. Not this, the southern tier counties, turkey hunting areas doing fine. The central, not faring so well. In the north, slight improvement for what I'm hearing. But it's very important if you see turkeys, get involved with this. Especially even if you're just a casual like stocked pheasant hunter, squirrel hunter like me, whatever. Just get involved. You see something very easy to do, as Sloan said. Implied, well, except for that bookmark thing. Even I can do it, and I've reported them before. But the name Luke Mbali was mentioned in briefing is with the National Wild Turkey Federation. Fairly frequent guest when it comes around to the turkey seasons. Lou sits on a national board of directors, National Wild Turkey Federation. Big gun, pun intended. Lou and I were back and forth on this with the ultimate cancellation of the autumn turkey season, which is a week long and incorporated two Saturdays. I was always a proponent for it. Shout out to Tony McBride way back when, saying we may get it in. It's going to take time. We had it. But what's the name of that band with the swing guy? Yeah, the Dire Straits. God, turkeys, not to be overly dramatic, give me in Dire Straits, certain part of the state. And only, as I said, there's only 50 birds that make a difference. Well, it was a fair and square when I was there at the Fish and Game Council meeting, the testimony, pro and con. And it came out yesterday by the council. I think there was one dissenting vote. NAB's closing. Well, I have Luke Mbali waiting patiently on the line right now. His take on it, a little back and forth on it. But again, when you see the work that the National Wild Turkey Federation does, the wild turkey chapters in New Jersey, and just the fish and wildlife, the great wildlife biologist Sloan and the technicians, whatever, get involved. If this helps in the long run, it's worth it. As I said to Sloan, to think, oh, once it goes away, it can never come back. That's not true. My fears have been assuaged with that to a degree. So, Lou, sorry I get a little long-winded, but you know me and my fall turkeys, not that I ever get any, but just out there in the fall is just another opportunity. But as you said, Tom P., the same thing Sloan said, dead hens lay no eggs.
That's right. This was a tough decision for us to support. But, you know, when we step back and we look at the condition of our flock in New Jersey, we're convinced we're being prudent and it absolutely was the right thing to do. At the end of the day, even though we may only harvest 50, 60 or so hens, you know, you do the math when you think about the fact that literally almost half of our turkeys die every year. I mean, when you look at the total encompass, you know, taking everything from, you know, hunting to predation to
cars,
weather,
cars, the roads. Oh, my
yes.
God. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. By the way, cars that came to light during our research, how many we lose to automobiles. So what you really come back to say is we came to the conclusion, hey, every hen matters. You know, there's a direct correlation when we discuss this to the poll survey that's out right now.
Yep.
And a lot of folks ask me, well, what's the big deal with that? What is the so what? Well, the so what is that we really, you know, and I applaud Jimmy and his team for this. In the last years here, we've really made a concerted effort to really try to get our arms around to get us close to predicting, to estimating what is our real turkey population in New Jersey. So how do we do that? Well, you know, we've got a really very good comprehensive ability through the model to track our harvests. You know, I travel all over the country. I've come to the conclusion that because of our permit system, A, B, C, D, E, and the zones, we actually can go back and tell you how many birds were harvested, where they were taken, what time they were taken, how many by resident, how many by non-resident. We can really jakes how many mature birds, public land, private land, et cetera.
Right.
So when we take the total harvest, we factor in what we know is a pretty good number in total mortality. Now we look at our pulse survival. And the better the general public can get their arms around this, you don't have to be a hunter to report pulse sightings. This is open to the general public.
Right.
When I get up in the morning, I say everybody's a conservationist because our wildlife is entrusted to all of us. So when you see the little ones out there with the hens, you know, when you if you see something, say something.
Right.
That's simple, right? So go. The model's very easy to use. When we can marry a good culmination of poult numbers and bake it into what we already know in our harvest numbers, we get a much better look at what our total population is. And that's going to really help us make decisions going forward about whether we have fall seasons or not. What's the right amount of birds to allow our hunters to harvest during the season? And I can tell you, and Jimmy probably touched on this, there's a lot of energy behind that right now, trying to get that to a better place.
Well,
hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, back to the autumn season, though. And someone brought up, I don't know who was it, Eric, someone, and I said, well, it's not really that much of a logistic thing to work out. Because the flocks in the south are in good shape. We all acknowledge that. Even the biologists acknowledge. The central and north, not so much. Why not have just a split, you know, you have the, and reduce the number of permits or whatever. Have a fall season in the south that's only going to be for a week when the problem is the central and the north. But that was just poo-pooed and like, no, we can't, again, we can't do that. I don't know, Lou, did you see much of a problem with that?
Well, I would tell you this, as someone that lives in the south, southern zones, we're just okay here. I argue with folks. We have pockets in South Jersey where we have pretty stable turkey populations.
Lou, I'll tell you, by Alloway, man, they'll take you in the woods and peck you to death.
Yeah, but we also have a lot of areas in South Jersey where we don't have birds anymore.
Really?
So yeah, if the folks that really look at this want to be conscientious and honest about it, I don't know anyone that can't say that there aren't as many turkeys around as there was 10 years ago.
Fair enough.
So what we're trying to do when we got involved in this thing was, yeah, North Jersey, a whole different approach to how we may or may not be able to get those birds back to some sensible stability. In the South Jersey, I believe it's more of a tale of let's stop, drop, and roll before we get to North Jersey. So
fair enough. Okay, I get it.
Because at the end of the day, we don't have that many levers we can pull, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really, all we have is we can't do anything about Mother Nature. Mother Nature does what it does. I'm concerned about the hatch this year because of some of the weather patterns we had early in the season. Time will tell with that, how it all shakes out. We're getting, you know, some areas we get decent reports. In other areas I'm hearing, you know, zero sighting of poults. And
yep.
If we roll everything out, we'll be able to see what we really think we've gotten out of it. But there's so many other, you know, again, very few levers we can pull. We can look at when we start our season, we can look at eliminating killing hens. Listen, if you go on the assumption that you kill 50, 60 hens, and let's say, you know, half of those hens that you saved bared broods, and the average survival rate of the broods was 3 to 4 birds, which would, you know, 3 to 4, even if you use the low number, you go to 3. So if you've got, you know, an incremental 75 to 100 hen, new birds that you saved, this starts to look like a good thing,
mm-hmm.
a smart thing to do.
Okay.
And numbers matter when you consider we started the whole flock in New Jersey with, you know, less than 25 turkeys.
Yeah, I remember that. I was there when Erickson and the guys let him go.
Absolutely.
McDowell was there.
Right?
Bob Byrne. I remember all those guys. Well, Lou, question. What I found bummer, disturbing, that Jimmy said, he says, Tommy P., I'm looking at a pile of transmitters here. The mortality on a lot of the hens that were, you know, had the transmitters affixed to them. Again, vehicles, predators, what have you.
I'm out there twice. I've been with, fortunately, I've been blessed to be working with Fish and Wildlife since we started this a year ago this past January. And, I, you know, one particular area where myself and one of the Fish and Wildlife techs, Richard, and I, we kind of been chasing after 10 birds now since almost, you know, a little over a year and a half now. And out of those 10 birds, we have two left. Now, fortunately, out of those two birds, one, as of a week ago, has, you know, two poults that are 5 weeks old. And we've got another one that hatched seven. And next week, we're going to go in and take a look at her and see what she's got left of those seven that she hatched. There's a dynamic in that research that we were even able to look at those two birds who actually brought broods a year ago and came back this year and did it again. The research allows you to actually look at the same bird in a pretty long period of time. But we have I've seen birds. We've lost a few just in that group to automobile fatality, avian predators. We had one bird. I really hate to get emotional about you get attached to him, but this bird took off a year this past September. We lost her signal. She was gone, and we got her back this spring. She went 8.29 miles for the winter left us and went off because she found that to be a more suitable area for the winter. She came back and set her nest within 100 yards of where she had it the prior spring. She was into her 25th day of incubation. She got predated.
Yeah,
they got a tough road to hoe out there. It's kind of, you know, for me, when we talked about closing the fall season, when you get to see it firsthand, it starts to bring to light that we really should do everything we can to ensure we put as many poults on the ground as we can.
Yeah, that's
I believe that. I think that's a simple, one of the simple levers we can pull until we potentially get our arms around some better things that we can implement to ensure stability for you. Look, I'm a hunter too. See, we're right. I don't like to see anything go away. And my hope is that down the road we'll bring the fall season back because we've been successful in doing some things that get the state in a more stable situation.
Well, that's what the situation is. Tom P., deal with it, and it's fine as long as if it's good for the overall good, and hopefully within a couple of years we'll get the turkey. I don't think it'll ever be as high as a population were 10, 12 years ago, but we'll get it back on track statewide, and that's the best we can hope for.
Well, look, I'll share this one with you. When you think about what we're up against, we're still losing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres every year of habitat. So our wildlife is being pushed into smaller quarters. Look, there's a reason why Fish and Wildlife is inundated with nuisance complaints about turkeys in housing developments, 55 and older communities, you know, apartment complexes. Well, the birds are doing the best they can to hang on. At the end of the day, these are not birds that we can even go out and hunt. They're just birds that at one time were in a better place and got pushed to a place. They're doing the best they can to hang on. Our hope going forward is we can continue to do as much habitat improvement as we can, so when Fish and Wildlife gets back to trap and transfer, we potentially have some really suitable places to put these birds when we trap them out of these places, put them back in there, and potentially help that, use that as a tool to grow our numbers.
Okay, Lou Gambale, National Board of Directors, National Wild Turkey Federation, weighing in. Lou, have a great remainder of summer. Best to you and the family. And we'll see you in the woods next spring. God spare us.
You too, my brother.
We'll see you later.
Love you, brother. Thank you.
See you, man. Lou Gambale, cool guy. Be right back. Rack and Fin Reader. He knows. He is Mr. Guy. He's the doyen of gobblers. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein, producer Nick Earnshaw, and Mr. Negadelphia, P.J. Korda, brought to you by the Vassar Pool Service. Join me in the studio. We will recap the Phillies-Padres Friday night action. Hour two, it's the Beach Patrol Report, brought to you by McCann Realtors of Seattle City and the OCPP Lifeguard Alumni Association. This week, we will have all the results and interviews from the Mike McGrath Memorial Races and hear from Lieutenant of the Avalon Beach Patrol, Eric Wolf, with the results from Bastion Callahan's. It's the Locker Room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Something good to know from First Bank of Sea Isle City. We have all of today's innovative banking products just like the big banks, but we offer something they can't. A personal community focus. Let's get you started with Bill Pay. You save time when you pay your bills online. It's fast, easy, and convenient. First Bank of Sea Isle City, a community bank that delivers more for you every day. Personal service, today's technology, from the people who truly care. Learn more at firstbankseaisle.com.
Member FDIC.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Let's wrap it up. Weekend of July 12th and 13th. Quick fishing report. We're going to go down to Boulevard Bait and Tackle there, 535 Seattle Boulevard in Ocean View today. Cameron is on the line right now. Cameron, how you doing, little brother?
Good, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
Lockcock Radio. Right, man, I saw your name in an article in the Fisherman Magazine about the reefs, man. You're really getting it done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 12 reef balls on that southwest corner of the TI Reef.
Cameron, let's let it rock. Okay, talk to me. What's happening in Back Bay real fast and right out front, flounder, bluefish, bass. Go!
It's been a heck of a season, Tom, for flounder, and it's still ongoing. We got the Back Bay on fire, focusing on the end of the incoming tide and the turn of the outgoing tide. That's that cooler, cleaner water coming in from the ocean. Deeper holes, closer to the inlets now. The other day, one of our charter captains, B.J. Mastrandro, hit the surf charters out of Avalon, weighed in an 8.56-pounder.
Oh!
One of his charter captain clients caught that, and that was a nice fish caught right there in Avalon. So,
okay, Cameron, hot bait, spot, mini, strip, gulp, what's the dealio?
You know the deal, Tom. You talk to 10 different guys, they're all using something different. When the bite's on, it all works. But yes, minnows, gulps, squid, salmon, strips.
Okay, Cameron, anything with little blues or weeks in the back?
Some weak fish still floating around the jetties. A bluefish here and there. Not much going on there, Tom. The good news is the kingfishing turned on the surf.
All right, the royals. Oh man, Cameron.
Finally.
Man, my air fryer is going to be going bats.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Cameron, anything at night out front? Any guys beat sharking down your way?
A lot of them guys keep it quiet, but yeah, there's been a lot of browns with this warmer water temp on that surf this year. It seems like nighttime's the right time.
Cameron.
Brown sharks. Haven't heard of many sand tigers, but definitely browns.
Do me a favor, give that website, give that Facebook page, phone number, go.
Boulevard Bait and Tackle, 535 Sea Isle Boulevard, Ocean View, New Jersey. Follow us on social media and Instagram.
12 reef balls. Cameron, great work, man. You're really into I'm very proud of you. Great.
Thanks,
just
Tom.
Great work. You take
Stay
care,
tuned.
Brother.
Stay tuned for some nice bigger projects coming.
We'll see you. We'll get you in.
Thanks, Tom. See you.
Yeah, a quick report. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out and enjoy. It rained bad weather, hot weather, so what? Get out, because no one has every day to look forward to. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next weekend, Rack and Fin Radio.